So a few words of introduction, a few words of hakdama to the kinos that we're going to recite this morning. And in particular, what I'd like to focus on is what role do the kinos play? And to appreciate that, we have to take half a step back to spend the next 3.5 hours together and to try to appreciate the unique status of Tisha B'Av in Halacha. Tisha B'Av, perhaps with the exception of Rosh Hashanah, from a halachic point of view, is the most complicated day of the year. Yom Kippur is not a complicated day. It's a day of kapara, it's a day of tshuva, it's a day of lifnei Hashem kitaru, it's a day of clarity. On the other hand, you have Sukkis, v'ayisa ach sameach, zman simchasenu. There are so many competing themes on the holiday of Sukkis. It's about sense of pure joy, qualitative joy. Tisha B'Av, we can say, at the very least, has 5 distinct halachic identities. And without appreciation of these distinct halachic identities, it's very difficult to understand what role the kinos have to play. Tisha B'Av, most obviously, is a Yom HaTainis. We spoke a little bit about it last night as we were transitioning from Shabbos into the Tainis. The pasuk in Zechariah says, "Tzom ha-revi, v'tzom ha-chamishi, v'tzom ha-shvi, v'tzom ha-asiri." That it's included in a list of other Tanesim, all of which have to do with the basic events surrounding the Churban HaBeis HaMikdash, Asar B'Teves, of course, the siege was laid to Yerushalayim, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, at least in the context of Bayis Sheni, the walls were pierced, Tisha B'Av, Srefas Beis Elokeinu, and then, as the Rambam said, and we read it yesterday, the Gacheles Yisrael, the ember that was still burning through the government of Gedaliah ben Achikam in Mitzvah, when that was extinguished, V'sibev lohasam galusan, and that caused the exile of the Jewish people. So we have Tanios, which surround the events before, during, and after Churban Beis HaMikdash, and Tisha B'Av is squarely within that tradition. Admittedly, based on the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, Tisha B'Av distinguishes himself as Chamir Lan Tvei Srefas Beis Elokeinu. It's certainly the most severe, the most grave of those Tanios, but in essence, it retains the identity of a Yom HaTainis, identity number one. Identity number two, distinct from its identity as a Tainis, is a Yom HaAvelos. We're not learning Torah, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev. We're not greeting each other, Hey Onik Dom. We're sitting on the floor, Yeshev Badad V'idom, Ki Natal Alav. We're not wearing our tefillin, Percha Chavush Alecha. These are all halachic reflections of Tisha B'Av status that you don't have on the other Tanios as a day of Avelos, identity number two. As we spoke about again last night, Tisha B'Av has a third identity. Tisha B'Av is in fact a moed, not only because in the future, Yi'alabes Yehuda l'sason l'simcha l'moadim tovim, as the pasuk in Zechariah says, but also based on the pasuk that we read last night in Eicha, Kara alai moed lishbor b'achurai. So because Tisha B'Av, even today in the presence, has the status of moed, we don't say slichos, we don't say tachanun, so our liturgy is affected even in the present out of an awareness of the fact that Tisha B'Av is a moed, identity number three. Identity number four is Tisha B'Av is the one day a year where we cannot say, at least until Chatzos, perhaps afterwards, depending on how exactly one looks at it, it is not a day of tefillah. This is based on 2 psukim that we read last night that the Navi Yirmiyahu gave us. Gam ki ezak v'ashaveya, no matter how much I call out, sasam tefilasi, my tefillah is blocked. That's why, of course, we not only close the normal cover to the Sifrei Torah, but we close the entire Aron, with different minhagim, our way of expressing the fact. The second pasuk says, sakosa ve'anan loch me'avor tefillah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is less accessible through tefillah than he is any other day of the year, which is, of course, why we don't have the audacity to say, Tiskabel tzloson v'ahuson d'chol beis Yisrael, We don't have the audacity to ask God to accept the tefillos of Kol Yisrael on a day that's been defined as Sasam Tfilasi, as a day that's been defined as Sakosa Ve'anan Lach Me'avor Tfila. And that's the fourth identity in Halacha of Tisha B'Av. But Tisha B'Av at the same time, and this is really where the kinos come in, is uniquely a day of tshuva. Remember, it's not only a tainus, as we spoke about in its first identity, like Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and like Asar B'Teves, and like Tzom Gedalia, but it borrows aspects of Yom Kippur, the ultimate day of tshuva, all of the other inuyim. And it is true, you'll point out to me, that the Rambam affiliates the theme of tshuva with all of the taniyos. The Rambam Hilchos Taniyos, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, Yosh Yesham Yamim Shekol Yisrael Mis'anin Bahem, Kedei La'orer Halavavo Siftoach Darchei Tshuva. I admit that every tanis has an aspect of tshuva to it, but the aspect of tshuva of Tisha B'Av qualitatively surpasses any aspect of tshuva that another tanis has. As we concluded Eicha last night, Hashivenu Adonai Elecha V'Nashuva Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem, the emphasis of tshuva and Tisha B'Av surpasses anything that we have in any other taniyos. That's exactly why, as I alluded to before we read the Torah, we didn't read Vayichal Moshe this morning. What did we read? Ki soli banim uvnei banim. What did the Torah say in the section this coming week's parasha, right? Batzar l'chom tzeucha kol advarim ha'ela v'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha. Today of tshuva, v'shamata b'kolo. V'vikashta misham es Hashem Elokecha u'matzasa ki sidrashena b'chol v'avcha v'chol navshecha. There's an intensity of tshuva. But of course, it takes us a while to find our way back. And what the kinos are really meant to do, and we're supposed to spend hours immersing ourselves in kinos, is helping us understand and come to terms with the tragedies that our people have suffered historically. We'll get to that point in just a moment. And to begin through the kinos to chart our way back in terms of accomplishing this theme of tshuva, which is so critical to Tisha B'Av, Hashivenu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva. Introduction number one. Number two. We read yesterday, and according to the Ashkenazic minhag, we read in the Eicha Trap, Eicha Esal Abadi Tarchachem U'Masa'achem V'Rivchem. Moshe said, how can I maintain all alone the tircha, the burden of leading you, the masa? Masa means literally, again, the heavy load that came, v'rivchem, and your contentiousness. The Ramban explains the following based on an earlier comment he said in Parshas Yisro. The Ramban says that, very hard question to answer to this day, what exactly is the job of a rabbi? What in the world is the job of a rabbi supposed to do? I can tell you what a doctor is supposed to do. I can tell you what an attorney is supposed to do. I can tell you what an accountant is supposed to do. What exactly is a rabbi supposed to do? So the Ramban wrote two essays on this subject. They both come to the same place. The Ramban says basically a rabbi has three jobs. First of all, he has to teach Torah directly. As Moshe said to Yisro, when Yisro said, Mahadavar hazeh asher ata oseh la'am, so Moshe responded, Behodati es chukei Elokim ve'es torosav. I have to be a teacher of Torah. Okay? The second aspect is, Ki elohem davar ba'elai. When they have a personal problem, what we would call today a pastoral issue, so I have to be responsive to that. I have to daven for them. I have to support them as they go through that process. And then there's a third aspect, and this is the aspect that ultimately Yisro thought could be delegated, and Moshe agreed, and Hashem agreed, is that v'shafatati bein ishu bein achiv, that I have a role in resolving their disputes. So the Ramban says in his commentary to the parsha that we read yesterday, that each of these three words, tarchachem, masachem, v'rivchem, correspond to each of the three jobs of the rav. V'rivchem is obvious. It's that when there's litigation, the rabbi has to come to some psak halacha, or that could be delegated to the sarei alafim, sarei meos, sarei chamishim, and sarei asaros. Masachem is a reference to the fact that the rabbi has an obligation to daven on behalf of the people in the community, support them through various pastoral crises. What does tarchachem mean? What's the tircha? So the Ramban has an astonishing comment. He says the tircha is associated with the role of the Rav as a melame Torah in terms of his ability to teach, because that requires a person to truly toil and to find the best way of reaching people. So we can't really begin our exploration of Kinos without noting, personal level, that there was a time, not all that long ago, that the way Kinos were experienced on Tisha B'Av is people would just simply read through them. And, you know, whatever they understood. Very difficult language. Whatever they didn't understand, they didn't understand. Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav, was matriach himself, exactly in the sense of this Ramban, Tarchachem. The Rav would learn Kinos all day in Maimonides. He would try to explain every word and every line. I'm personally indebted to him for many of the ideas that I'll share this morning, but more than the specific ideas, it's the aspiration that we should approach Kinos in that way, that we should take every line seriously and try to utilize Kinos, as I mentioned just a moment ago, as an opportunity for us to sort of define a roadmap for our way back of how Tisha B'Av can be maximized and optimized as a Yom HaTshuvah. Point number two. Final introductory point number three. The vast majority of the Kinos, until we get to the end of Etzion and Rav Yehuda HaLevi and Shali Srufa Be'esh of the Maharam Rutenberg, the vast majority of the Kinos, certainly that we're going to start with, are authored by the Kalir. Who knows when Rav Elazar HaKalir lived? If you do, you're the only person alive that can be sure, okay? We don't know when the Kalir lived. We obviously don't know where he lived. But he becomes sort of the voice of the Kinos. And I always considered this to be an expression of Hashgacha, of providence. Why? Because Tisha B'Av, as we spoke about a little bit yesterday in the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, is Yom Shechbulu Botzaros. Tisha B'Av is a day where all of Jewish history, ranging from the Dor HaMidbar that was sentenced to death, to Churban Bayis Rishon, to Churban Bayis Sheni, to the years 132 to 136 CE with the Bar Kokhba revolt and the destruction of Besar and the murder of hundreds of thousands of Jews, through all of the Roman persecutions and the persecutions of the early Christians, through the Crusades, through the Inquisition, through Tach V'Tat, 1648, 1649, going on, of course, to more recent modern European history in the Shoah, to the terror that we experience today, unfortunately here, but even more so in Eretz Yisrael. It all merges together. I always thought it was providence, that the voice that would express the suffering of Klal Yisrael and Tisha B'Av with Kalir, who's an ahistorical figure. We don't even know when he's from or where he's from, but it doesn't really matter. Because one of the most important aspects of today is that we have to break free of the stranglehold that modern culture puts on our minds. We tend to think of anything that happened more than 5 minutes ago and surely more than 10 minutes ago as irrelevant to our current existence. And Tisha B'Av is a day when we most fully express the sense of Zechor Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador Shal Avicha V'Yageidcha Zekinecha V'Yom Ruach. There's nothing about our current suffering, again, whether it's here, whether it's in the land of Israel, that we see as something new. This is but an expression of what Klal Yisrael has suffered even before the Jewish people first entered the land of Israel, going back to the Dor HaMidbar, going back to the Leil Bechiya of which we spoke about last night. And we have to challenge ourselves this morning that the Avelos, quote-unquote, Yeshana, that this ancient Avelos that we mourn for doesn't feel distant from us, but we understand ourselves. And this may be the most important thing in Yiddishkeit, that we understand ourselves as part of a chain. We understand that that implies we have certain duties. And amongst those duties are to remember what Klal Yisrael has been through, how much we have sacrificed, and the achrayus, the responsibility that we have not to abandon what it was the Jewish people stood for throughout all of these generations at the cost of untold suffering that we'll read about this morning, and the pride that we should take in the martyrdom of the Jewish people, in the sacrifice of the Jewish people throughout all the ages. So it's only providence, in my judgment, that Kalir, who we wouldn't really know where he lived and when he lived, but that he would become very much the voice of Tisha.